I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:03 PM. Can I get a roll call?
Gehring?
Yes.
Williams?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Bell?
Here.
Swingle?
Here.
You're all here. You have a quorum.
Let's see, revisions to the agenda.
Just so you know, we have a packet addendum. You know, we noticed, I think Commissioner Bell came in my office earlier today and was wondering why there wasn't a site plan. Of course, there was. So we've produced that so you can see the site plan for the CUP requests and variance. And we also have the April 25th minutes for consideration.
Okay, do I have an approval to approve? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda with the addendum?
I approve the changes.
Motion to approve agenda with the addendum.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Appearance requests.
I don't think there's anyone here but the applicant for the two cases.
Okay. Okay, any announcements? I can't think of anything right now.
We have commissioners who have guests in the audience if they would like to take a moment and introduce them.
6:30, there's a gun club meeting at the library.
Oh.
Debbie's here just to echo you.
Your best bet's Vicky.
It's his turn to cook, right? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as of June 20, 2019?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion. The motion would be to approve the minutes of April 25th as amended.
Second.
Okay, Tom, Vicky. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Do we have any discussion on that?
Discussion, sure. Absolutely.
I wasn't sure. Commissioner Swingle had some questions.
Okay.
No, the new version looks pretty good. Okay. I mean, we all like a little humor in our life, but yeah, this is more appropriate. Thank you. Oh, I actually do have a question. Moving forward, are we going to, are the minutes just going to state what we vote on and that's it? It's not going to break it down, or what's going on with that?
Right. So in the back of your packet, you have another set of minutes. So it's almost like a duplicate set, but it's to show you what they would look like. And those are called action minutes. They just basically state what the case is and how the vote, what the motions were. Talk with the city clerk, Margie Viter, who recommends that we go that way from all the training she's had. You know, we've looked over some old minutes that have word-for-word transcriptions from, 19, whenever Coe Whittern was on the Planning Commission. I mean, it shows people arguing back and forth down to the words stated, and then you start worrying about semantics. But I think this is kind of the way to go. So, but I'm open to hear what you all think.
I would agree, and thank you for that answer.
I was going to make a comment. You're speaking about the two sets of minutes that are in the packet here that are both dated June 20th. And those are an example of two different styles of how you do the minutes.
Correct.
Okay. And I would agree that the second set you have in here that's more concise and doesn't have all the other commentary in the minutia of the conversation would be the proper way to do this in the future.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought you were going to ask for pictures.
No. Okay. Not yet.
we have another set of minutes to do a motion on April 25th. Do I have a motion on that?
Well, I assume everyone's voting to pass the first motion. You still have a motion on table for the minutes of 6:20.
All in favor on the June 20th minutes? Say aye.
April 25th, aye.
Okay, I guess I'm confused. April 25th, minutes. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Not to revise anything, but I wasn't sure if you realized at the last meeting that we voted down the minutes of April 25th for revisions.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry about that. We should have filled you
in. Kind of left you in the dark on that one.
That's okay. Okay, so now the June 20th minutes. So do I have a motion to approve the June 20th minutes?
Motion to approve June 20th minutes.
And a second.
Travis and Tom. Okay, any discussion on that? No discussion. Do I have all in favor? Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, moving on. Public hearing item 1, resolution 2019-07, resolution approving a conditional use for an additional residential unit located on lot 4, block 10 of USS 1992, an Alaska town site at 888 West Broadway Avenue.
Madam Chair, I recommend you also read in the other hearing item. They're both their companion requests for the same site.
Perfect. Sounds okay. Great. Also, public hearing for item number 2, resolution 2019-08, a resolution approving a 14.25-foot variance to the rear yard setback in order to allow an additional structure containing one residential unit located on lot 4, block 10 of USS 1992 at 88 West Broadway Avenue.
And for the staff presentation, we will allow our student intern, Christian, to present his work and
okay.
Work with all of you. So.
Okay.
Hey guys, so I'm going to be doing the staff report tonight, and the applicant is also here. I speak first, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to give the staff report regarding the proposal at hand, which is both the conditional use permit and the variance. As you can see up here right now, the property that the CUP and the variance concern is this one right here. Which is, I'll give you guys the context for the property, both in terms of the permit and the variance, as well as how the proposal performs for each of the code-based tests for both the variance and the CUP. And then I'll give you guys the recommendations that staff has regarding this proposal. On the CUP side, this, as you can see, is a fairly recognizable lot in town. It's close to this intersection, which is the intersection of 5th and Broadway, which is where we're having the Heart of the Aleutians Festival this year. It's where we had the main stage for the 4th of July parade this year. It's a pretty prominent location. It's on like this main drag, which everyone is pretty familiar with. So how this lot looks ends up being pretty significant toward like the character of downtown and that sort of thing. Previously, before the application, this lot was the location of a lot of junk cars, which are prohibited by code, but they hadn't really been moved off yet because no one complained about them. But since the application, they've been vacated in anticipation of the grant of the permit, because the proposed structure would go where those junk cars are right now, and you can see them right here, but they're not there anymore. Additionally, the structure that is going here is currently sitting on Steve Angman's property on Loop Road, with all those other random things that he has. It's near the What's it called? The Quonset?
Yeah, it's near his Quonset. It's right next to it. It's that blue roofed building, tan side, yeah. And so that would be moved to this lot, which would clean up that property a little bit, as well as clean up this property. So it's a net. Everything is cleaner, which is probably a good thing. The existing property as well, the existing building on the property, currently has a conditional use permit for 3 residential units, despite the fact that the property itself is zoned general commercial. So it's currently in use, to the best of my knowledge, as a residential building. And so you'd be adding a 4th residential unit to that property that currently has 3 residential units. On the conditional use front, there are 3 tests that code asks us to pass if we're interested in granting the CUP. The first one is whether or not the proposal furthers the goal of the comp plan. It does. It would add more housing to downtown. It would put that that house that currently isn't in use on Steve Engman's property back in use over here. However, it doesn't necessarily add more commercial uses, which is another thing that the comp plan asks for. But obviously, housing is a big deal, and it would be good to have more of it, which this would do. The second test is whether or not it's compatible with existing and planned uses. This lot is bordered on this side by restricted deed native allotment, which is exempt from code. And then this lot down here is a high density residential lot. And then in the surrounding area, there are a lot of residential uses as well. So it wouldn't create any negative impact. And it would also just add more residential uses, which doesn't fundamentally change the character of the neighborhood at this time. Again, on that negative impact, it's just more residential use to a property that's already being used as residential. And because residential uses are judged by code to be less abrasive, so they're not as annoying in some ways, they're less abrasive than the commercial use. So if you're adding another residential use to the property, which the conditional use would, then basically what code says is that the intended use of the property would be more abrasive than the use that's being asked for. So it passes that test as well. So it passes the 3 tests for the conditional use, which suggests that we should issue the conditional use permit. However, on the variance front, it's a little bit of a different story. And I'll pull up the site plans for that. So, I'll zoom in for you guys. This is the site plan with the 14.25 foot variance. And then this one is it without it, with the current setback. Since the property to the south is a high density residential property, it requires that there be a 20 foot setback between it and the general commercial lot. And that's what you can see here in blue. This right here is the current structure that exists, which goes out to the lot line because it's grandfathered in. Yeah. And then the thing in yellow is the proposed floor plan of the building. Anyway, the 20-foot setback would be encroached by the building by 14.25 feet because the building needs to be at least 15 feet away from the currently existing structure because of fire code, which requires that there be at least 15 feet in between the two, which you can see right here. However, that obviously means that you'd have to push back the setback significantly, the resulting 15 feet. And because without the setback, it looks like this, there's only 1.25 feet or something, you have to have that extra 15 feet on the other side. So if you're going to pass fire code, you have to have it push back the setback. However, if you push the setback back that far, then you end up with a different host of problems. And so I'm going to now describe the 4 tests that you need to pass a variance, or that code suggests that you need to pass the variance, and which ones the proposal passes, which ones it doesn't. The first one it asks for is whether there's a substantial non-financial hardship. And I'd say that, yes, there is, because fire code enforces that there be this 15-foot difference. So as long as there's going to be a separate building, there also needs to be a 15-foot difference, which makes it so that the applicant didn't enforce this on himself. So he needs that space to put that building in, if that makes sense. It also doesn't really change the neighborhood health that much, as long as the use of this building remains residential. Because it's just an additional residential unit, it's next to a high-density residential. This building is currently used as residential. Across the street is residential. Fundamentally, like, that doesn't change it. However, were this to be used as a commercial use, then according to code, which states that commercial uses need to be at least like 20 feet from the lot line of a bordering residential use, if this became a commercial use, then that commercial use would be 75% closer to the high-density residential use than it would normally be. So it's sort of iffy on whether or not it passes that test. It is, however, compliant with the comp plan. It adds more housing. Again, it gives the our local citizen more autonomy to do what he would like with the property, which is all concordant with the comp plan. However, the last test, I think it definitely fails, because the last test asks whether or not there is a preservation of a property right that's substantially the same as possessed by other landowners in the same zoning district. So this is a general commercial lot. And so the owner of a general commercial lot does not necessarily possess the property right to build a residential use, right? Unless they're given that by a conditional use permit. And so what the planning department is suggesting is that we pass the conditional use permit, which says that we should basically grant them the right to have that residential use on their lot. However, and this is where it impacts the variance, what we're saying is that they have the right to have that extra use, but they don't necessarily have the right to build an additional structure, an additional separated structure specifically. In other words, they don't have the right to encroach on the setback because fire code doesn't let them have two buildings. So because that conditional use doesn't impart the right to the separate structure, and because they can still have the two residential units on the lot if you connect the two buildings without encroaching on the setback, the conditional use permit doesn't give the right to the separate buildings, and thus they don't need the variance to have that additional use, which is granted by the conditional use permit. So basically, what the planning department, in conclusion, is recommending is that we don't grant the variance because of that last reason. It doesn't grant them the right to have the two separate buildings, but that we should grant the CUP on the condition that the structures be connected as a single four-unit residential conditional use permitted structure, but that we don't necessarily give them the ability to have that extra structure. Does anyone have any questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. So Roger was saying that the Chili Pepper house, and I can't think of his name right now. Joe Patron, similar situation with it being abutted. You had the main structure and then the other structure, if you're looking at it on the left-hand side, that was abutted to the original structure with a firewall and allowed for that to be, well, it became allowable, but he just had it zoned high density. Is that something that would be doable in this situation?
So if we rezoned, the applicant one didn't apply for a rezone of the property, right?
Correct.
It was the conditional use and the variance to allow for it. However, even with the high density residential use, that doesn't necessarily change what the fire code requires. Fire code, when we spoke to the fire chief about this, would allow down to, and this is in a really rare circumstance, would allow down to 7.5 feet in between the buildings, which would still require some variance. But the fire department is really they're not really interested in giving that, just because the amount of, like, one, they couldn't fit the vehicle between the two buildings,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of fireproofing, basically, you'd have to do to both the wall of the currently existing structure as well as the bordering wall of the new structure, is something that they're uncertain that they'd be able to manage. The fire chief said that if one of the two buildings did catch on fire, she'd be wary of trying to save one of the two buildings just because of how close they'd be if you didn't put them 15 feet apart. However, if you put them together as one building, then it would burn as one, and then it would just be one building. So the high density wouldn't change that. Are there any other questions?
Okay, so just, I was trying to find the square footage in here. How big is this lot?
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
Okay. I got a couple more questions, is that all right?
Okay.
Absolutely. what is there any benefit to switching it besides that he would gain, the 5 feet setback on the end if you switched it from general commercial to, you know, either a moderate or a high density residential, and would that kind of be more in line with what we got going on downtown there? Would you think, in your opinion, on that? Last question.
So, all right, let me understand what you're asking. Are you, if in changing the zoning of the district, would the configuration of the lot or the size be more in keeping with what we're trying to build here?
Well, so, okay, sorry, I multi-parted that. So in the general commercial, you're saying there has to be a 20-foot setback.
Right. Correct?
Okay, but in a residential situation, I think it's only 15 on the sides, right?
It would be 10 because it's a rear lot, so you'd need 10 between it, which means you'd still need a 4.5 foot setback.
Correct.
Well, a 4.5 foot variance.
Right.
But
so it doesn't really help you in the
right.
separation issue.
Right.
And one other thing, if you remember the meeting that we had over the OC property, this property is 10,600 square feet. So for the additional unit, you would need a additional variance. To have four units on a lot smaller than, I think, 12,000 square feet.
Well, that's what my next question was going to be, was how many units total are going to be on this thing? And so previously there was a conditional use permit for three residential units. Is there still three units? No. What's the configuration currently?
That the old building already there, and the one that you put into two units only. Yeah, the small one I teared out.
So, excuse me. So after you, after you installed this place, so with the old structure that's there now and then the new one you propose to put on there, how many separate units will there be on the property?
What do you mean, how many separate?
How many apartments will be there? How many houses? When you're housing, when you're done.
Oh, just that one. Right now, the old one, and the one I just put in, two.
So it's only going to be two units?
Yeah, I got the one cabana, small one, the old one. I will tell the, I got the permit to demolish already.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. So where I'm going with this is I'm just kind of wondering if it would be conducive to put in as one of the conditions or something to rezone this, since his main intent seems to be for residential, and would that be more in line with what we would prefer to see happen in the downtown region rather than keep a general commercial lot? And then in doing so, he wouldn't need a conditional use permit to put a residential building on a residential lot then, you know what I'm saying? So you would eliminate that situation there. As far as what you were talking about connecting the building, I agree with you. I would from everything you've explained, what I read in here, I would not be for the variance, granting the variance, but I would be for the connecting of the building. I think that would take care of that issue. But as far as the other angle, talking about the switching, I mean, I don't know what his intent is in the future, but it sounds like he's wanting to keep this property as a residential place, you know, and the fact that he's wanting to add another house to it, maybe we should put a condition in here that in doing so, or we vote it down tonight and he comes back to you guys. I'm just proposing this. So what do you think of this idea?
I'll let Bill answer it like more formally, but I think that there is some worth to keeping it a general commercial lot, just because like farther in the future, say 30 years, 40 years down the road, right? All right, I'll just let Bill do it.
I think Travis has a good point. Surprised we don't. One of the benefits of going from you increase the lot coverage. If it's a high density of residential, some of the lot requirements are a little more lenient towards having a high density residential. But even in just two units, a regular residential zoning would probably suffice.
Correct. Single family duplex.
Oh, excuse me.
Get rid of the third unit to replace it with.
Okay, so it would go to three units.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of clean up your books, sort of, more or less the way I'm seeing it.
As you mentioned that, I'm sitting here wondering what the mechanism is to, because the actions you would take here tonight, unless they're appealed, would go to council. But for a zoning change, it would. Your recommendation would be to council to take action. And so I'm sitting here toying with, if you make a conditional approval that he changed the zoning, if I believe, and I'll have to check in past places, that would trigger, so he wouldn't have to pay for another application and start over.
It would be part
of
the process.
So it would kind of fall forward, and this would suddenly become their recommendation. It's kind of a weird way to get it to council, but it's always been that way in the past, so I'll have to ask. But if you do condition it on the zoning being changed, I believe then the natural course of action would be, if he's amenable, that it would go to council as if that was what was requested.
Only that. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think it would be a bad way to go.
I have a quick point of order. The conditional use was for an additional unit, based on the existing three units that were there. He doesn't need the conditional use because he's tearing one out.
Correct.
We were under the impression that it was all inside of that existing building,
right.
The main building. So right now what we could take the conditional use off the table, or table that indefinitely, and then move to variance, and then discuss in the future having that change of the property.
Yeah, because it's going to tear down the first, that old one anyway. So it's not going
to. I have one more question to kind of add to that while we ponder this for a moment. Just curiosity, what. Is there any other general commercial lots like right near there? Is like the old
this layer,
the old
so
there we go. Thank you.
So what you're seeing in the zoning is
everything in pink is general commercial.
Okay.
So
what you've got is along this front yard line on Broadway. These are all general commercial lots. This is a public, quasi-public lot for the school. These are two native allotments. These are high-density residential here. This is public, quasi-public for the church. This is all a residential. And can you cross the street over there and tell me what that is?
That's the APIA building,
okay.
Which
this is... So the APIA Head Start is also general commercial.
Okay.
And then you have more residential, a couple native allotments, and then you get down to Swanson House, which is public, quasi-public. You've got a park, so that's open space. So there's overall, this neighborhood is
kind of a
mishmash of uses.
I you know, I'm going to go on a limb a little bit here. This is my opinion on it is, from what I've seen in the 23 years living here is that I've seen this downtown kind of morph. It used to be more general, like commercial, like there was more, you know, businesses and things down there, but I've kind of seen it morphing back into residential neighborhood. And I have to admit that it seems appropriate, in my opinion, and I would be in support of this lot being switched back, this particular one, to residential. And even with the owner sitting here, you know, wanting to move more housing on it, you know, you're pretty much locking down the available space on this lot with residents. There's no really, unless you switched one of the houses into a business front, which I suppose is an option, but I'm not really sure if it would be conducive down there to like put a business in right there. From my opinion, like I said, I don't know how the rest of the commission feels on that. Any thoughts?
I'll just throw out a thought, and I'm kind of along the same lines of what you're doing here, is I would have to agree with denying the variance. But that being said, is trying to find a way that we can make this work for this gentleman, that still falls within a reasonable scope of code, I guess.
He's going to tear that old one down.
We need to ask you, would you be amenable to doing a zoning change to residential?
Oh, that the commercial zone?
Yeah, if you were to choose.
I want to keep that commercial zone on the future. I remodel stuff like that.
Okay.
What's he trying to do?
He said he wants to keep it commercial.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your plans with that old Volusia Mercantile?
Huh?
What's the plans with your Volusia Mercantile? What's your plans?
Oh, remodel.
Remodel?
Remodel and right now I just try to move closer to that building, and on the future I remodel that house. Then I don't know what to do. Yeah, but I want to keep the commercial.
Okay.
If something like I've been changed to commercial, but I want to keep the commercial right now.
So given that, however, I don't. We can't tell someone what to do with their property, but it doesn't mean that because what makes sense planning wise doesn't mean what your decision should be predicated upon. So, I mean, what I'm hearing makes sense to me, and I think it is committing that property to a residential use for a good long time. Maybe what you want to base your, you know, decision on.
With that being said, I would prefer that to be done. But I, with him saying he wants to keep it and that he's already has his property there, that's his right, and I don't think we have the right to encroach on that. But we, after now discussing this though, so it was already rezoned, like you guys said, for a three-unit place, and considering it doesn't have the three units, do we even need to? Basically, is this application null and void? Should we vote this down, and he's still going to be okay to go ahead and do this if he attaches the two buildings? How would that work? What should we do here?
So he has permission to, remember, a conditional use permit is for what is there. You know, so if it's a building configuration and the footprint is, you know, 4,000 square feet, and he demolishes 1,000 square feet of it, and now he's adding 2,000. That doesn't mean he gets to just do that. That conditional use permit, that's one of the limitations of doing things these backwards ways. And I'm not saying to limit someone. He is allowed to do what he is allowed to do with that property the way it is zoned, period. I'm not taking anything away from any applicant here. But when they're coming before you and wanting exceptions and variances, that's your decision to say, this is the way we want to go. So I really highly think maybe you didn't understand what I was saying, Commissioner Swangle, but that is your prerogative here. All right. The next thing is the variance. So we probably should have a little. There's probably a few things here. Once we should have known that other unit was being demolished. The others, we need to quit asking compound questions. we're losing the train of thought here when we do that. So the reason you started going down, maybe we should do a rezoning, is it reduced the amount of the setback. So that would reduce the amount of the variance requested. But then we start talking about the other thing and we forget to answer that. So we're trying to help, but in the sense we're kind of creating a spaghetti plate for ourselves here. So let's take things one at a time. So it's up to him. If he wants to amend his CUP, we can do that. But he's still going to have a zoning that's commercial and a, you know, 15-foot setback requirement that he has to meet.
Let me add some more spaghetti then. The lot lines that are shown on here, how accurate is the information that those lot lines are fairly close?
Could you repeat the question?
We ran into another one where someone was asking for a variance, and after much discussion, it was determined that the picture of what was being shown was not the actual footage or distance that was being requested as far as the variance.
I was talking to Cameron about this earlier today, and he noted, I guess he'll respond to it too, but he noted that the control points for that specific block were mostly fine.
Right. So the town has a surveyor checking, checking the property corners of different blocks in that area. I believe that the control points on that block have already been done, but we only have a couple of them. So, we're not looking at the property corners directly, but it should be fairly accurate. That's probably not helpful, but that's the best answer I can give you.
No, it goes back to what setbacks, where the setbacks are and what they can be and what distances and everything is why I was asking that. And if we're reasonably sure that the points are fairly accurate, then it gives us a good basis to measure from.
So is there going to be, so you need 4 parking spaces if it's just a duplex, basically a single family duplex, right? So there's enough space. It'll be, where do you, I guess on the top left corner, is that where the parking will be as well? Or is there be plenty of enough parking for the new place?
So if we were to grant the conditional use permit, it currently is permitted for 3. Residential uses, which means that it needs 6 parking spots. And if we added the other one, it would need 8. And that, even if you don't have like 4, there'd still be 4 units though. So, because it's not based on how many are there, it's based on how many are permitted, right? Because if we granted the conditional use, it would be for the additional lot or additional.
I have something to add to that. It would make this all null and void about the extra spaces. You're saying that it's already on the books right now that he has for 3-plex. So maybe we can, in the conditions, we could put in here that is null and void. And then now we're granting this. It says in here the language you've written, it says an additional unit. And he has right now 1 unit there. And so basically by granting this, we're saying that that's a duplex on a general commercial lot. So we would clarify by granting, could we do that? Does that sound legit?
So just to clear up a point of confusion, he has 3 existing right now. He is going to tear 1 down and then replace it. So that's why he's saying there's going to be 2. And then we're adding this 3rd one, this yellow structure.
I misunderstood then. I thought he was saying there was just 1 place left down there.
There's 1 building. It has 2 units inside of it.
Oh.
And there's the shack, the little shed, little cabin in the back.
So we would say
that's going to be torn down.
So we would say it's a 3-plex then, and it would make the previous CUP null and void, which would reduce the parking place. You were just saying, Christian, that it would have to add in to the eighth parking spot, which I'm not sure could, if he maybe he could meet that on there if he started stacking the cars on there. Just right. But,
all right, wait. There's going to be a. There were three units. They're tearing one down. There's two. We're adding one back. There's three. Three times two is going to be six parking spaces. Correct. Where are we getting six eight parking spaces? We thought there was going to be four, but that's not the case anymore. Right?
Correct. So with six parking spaces, he has the two along Broadway in the front here that you can see underneath the image. And you can see the additional cars that he has already parked under here that have been removed. You can see that they line up and there is enough room for all of them to sit in front of the structure.
On the side of the building, too. On the side of Broadway, that go for four cars, too. The one I packed in my truck right now. Yeah, they can go four cars.
Okay, and he's saying he can add an additional two on the top of the lot here by Broadway by parking them
closer to the front. Yeah, it seemed like there was plenty of room. We did a drive-by today, so...
So as far as parking goes, he does have the room.
Okay, thank you.
So back to the two resolutions. The variance doesn't look like it's going to fly, according to what I'm hearing. We have some issues on the conditional use. Do we want to revisit this next month or at a special meeting? Because we're going to just go back and forth on things that, you know, what's written in here isn't what's happening, and we need a plan. I mean, I don't see a clear plan right here, and we need to decide whether he wants to do single family duplex or, you know, put the buildings together so he doesn't have to do the variance. You know, I mean, I'm kind of at a standstill right now.
Ask, does the applicant have any further comments that we're going to make? Or,
well, sorry, I'm still back on here. So you have an additional unit, but you're saying it already has three. It's already been approved for three units, and now you're adding an additional unit to it. So that would be four.
No.
Right.
One is coming down.
I know that, but what I'm saying is what there's all. It's already says though that the property's granted for three, and we're adding a fourth one. So back to what Christian was saying, that technically there would have to be eight parking spots, right? I'm just saying.
Okay, so I think I'm going to try and do a quick synopsis of everything.
I think what we're going to do is make a new meeting date or kick this to the next meeting. It's become too confusing to even follow this discussion for me.
I don't think so.
So it is, because there's three units. There's three units. There's six spaces. You're still saying four units and eight spaces. Tells me there's confusion. I'd rather we just redo the reports. We should meet with the applicant, make sure that's what he's doing, give you a clear plan, and maybe, I think not only the minutes, we're going to start doing some changes to how the reports are presented. I think we're going to just do some simplified paragraph writing, and then all the technical stuff will kick as an appendix, because that's getting lost here.
Well, I've learned a lot in talking, because there was a lot that wasn't in here that we've discussed and actually clarified. So I
think that's because
it
wasn't presented probably to the point where maybe some of the simpler questions should have been answered instead of having to. It's almost like a volleyball game. Some of these should be simply put out there and you wouldn't have to ask so many questions. So, all right. Who knows? What's the will of, I don't know, when he tears it down, is that going to create more room over there? I'm not even sure. So I'd rather just see that. Okay.
So yeah. He understands what we're basically saying that's not happening tonight, you know, and why.
So what's the will?
So we could do it on the next meeting. Just gotta be cleaned up.
That's kind of where I'm at, because there's just too many, you know, I mean, I can't see approving something that's so far out of.
Well, I'm fine with letting staff mull over kind of what we chatted about. I don't know if there's anything
else. I know where I stand on the variance, but yeah, I guess it would be, well, the owner's made it clear that he wants to keep general commercial, which I think
right.
is fine.
Right.
We could go that route.
Absolutely.
Or we could decide, you know, if it's, for whatever reason, better to go the
okay,
other
route. Okay, let's just postpone this part until the next meeting.
So we're gonna move you out to the next meeting date. We want to make sure we get exactly what you want, and work with staff and come back. We all want you to have housing and stuff, but we just want to do it right, and we want to make sure that you're keeping your zoning the way you want and not making changes that you don't want. That's not our right. So
yeah,
okay. All right, so our new business items are going to be tabled until the next meeting.
Yes.
We do have another item. Where did it go?
To keep it clean, since we have it in the record, can we get a motion and a second from one of you to postpone this to the next meeting, and then we will bring it back to
okay,
you.
Okay, good point. Do I have a motion to postpone our resolutions 2019-07 and 08 until the next meeting?
So moved. Second.
Helen and Tom beat you. Okay.
You got aced, Travis.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, work session. No session tonight, but there's the co-Witteran item that I can't seem to find because I have lost it. I have no idea how I did that. Can I see your special packet? There. Yeah.
Co-Witterans?
Yeah. Oh.
Where is it?
It's not on there. Okay, so it's not on the agenda.
No, Co brought this in the day right after we issued the agenda out.
Okay.
And, of course, it would expire. His year was approved in August, so he wanted to get it to you. It's basically per code submitting a letter requesting a one-time, one-year extension. So I've got it. Because he's not been able to, for the reasons listed in the letter, bring forth his final plat, and preliminary plats expire after 1 year.
Do we have a motion to accept his 1 year extension?
Yeah, I see no reason, so
I'll
make a motion to accept his 1 year extension.
I'll second.
Travis and Helen. Discussion?
The only thing I would say is about maybe 2 months ago, Co was in our office, and if I want to remind you, and we can furnish the minutes if you would like, that one of the conditions that we set forth on Co and his preliminary plat was that if there were any sensitive areas on that property that we want that shown and protected. And we did spend $12,000 of the city's money to have that studied as a result of our meeting. There are very two small areas, and when he came into the office, I can't even remember why he came in to the office. Just was belligerently rude and refuses to do it. So if he continues with that, you're going to be faced with what will you do? And then maybe, you know, if we hold firm that he shows these two little areas as sensitive areas and he doesn't agree, it'll go to council and it'll be ultimately up to them if you want to hold firm. There in no way would inhibit his development, his density or anything. And last week we had the Army Corps was out here for some other reasons, and I gave them a copy of that study, and they're going to certify that study, and they're of the same opinion. So I don't know why. It's not like he's lost half the right to develop his property. It's I've seen major mega dollar developments be able to contend with much more restrictive issues and be dealt with in a lot better way. So it's going to be up to all of you, but I just want to bring that up.
All right, thank you.
I'm required to buy his property, so they don't even have to worry about it.
Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? Hearing none, motion passes. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We've given you, it came into the office, I think, just yesterday, and it's the report, I think it's from the Army Corps, to get rid of some World War II contaminants in the valley. We'll put that on next month's agenda. We wanted to give it to you. It's a pretty big report compared to some of the other. We're a clearinghouse for the Corps, so anything that they're doing out here, they give it to us to ask for our opinion, and I like to put these on your agendas so we get a collective opinion, not just some, you know, my planning director opinion written back to them. So we printed that off for you, and it'll be on next month's agenda. Feel free to call with any questions.
That's awesome.
Is this information, is it more informational, or is there any action that the commission needs to take?
They like if they're, I think if we're, in opposition or want to have a formal comment, that it should be an action that, based on our collective thought, you know, we, the commission, are opposed to this, or we think it's great, or you don't have to take any, you know, if you aren't in, basically, if you're not in disagreement with it, you don't have to take any action. If you want your opinion heard one way or the other, then you should take an action.
Have you had a chance to look over this much? Is there anything that would be considered a historic site or anything that else that would be need to be considered?
I haven't looked at it that much in depth. I think it's surprising to me the amount of the uses that are out there. Of course, I would say it's historic. I mean, it's part of the definition of the island, but there's more than one way to look at this, and some people find it as an intrusion. So, you know, sensitive to that. That's all I can say.
Okay. I'll read it. It'll probably answer a lot of questions. So.
Great. Anything else?
I just want to add it off subject here a little bit. Speaking of historical, maybe look into, I don't know, is it the building down there that he owns, isn't that a World War II structure? Office historical.
It's a mercantile, right?
Yeah, the Aleutian Mercantile. Wasn't that a World War II structure? Anyways, just thought I'd throw that in there. I don't know what the history of that building is or if that changes anything for that lot, but yeah.
We'll have to look in the hallway when we're done, because if it's a building, I'm thinking the picture shows it in the other side of the road.
Yeah.
Well, so unless it was moved.
Apartment store. Hmm.
I mean, she mentioned the mercantile, and I thought it was a different property that had that building on it, but it's hard to tell from the overhead shot. You're looking down on the building, you can't tell the same one.
It was Aleutian Merc, it was Pop Hartman's.
Is that the same property you were talking about?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been there since I was 52. It's been there before me. Ricky's time.
Way before me.
I know. I got my first snowboard ever from that shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From what's his name?
That's funny.
Yeah. Where was the story?
Right, motion to adjourn.
Helen Brown.
I made a motion to adjourn.
Oh, sorry, Vicki.
I did it a second time.
Second, Helen.
Okay.
All right.
6:55.
Boom. 6:55.
Yes.
Now I get to go decorate.